Welcome to Lunch Plus. This is the right stream that we're watching right now.
It's the right stream with a W.
Yeah. So if you guys are tuned on right now, what has happened is something has gone wrong in Restream. What exactly? I don't know, but we have two streams up. So the event that we had for today, we're still talking about the same thing, but if you guys could go over to the other one and tell everybody to come over here before I delete the event that was made that is not gone live. Please do that. Please let people know that we're here. So far, we have five people on. It says we have five people on, but I see more people in the comments. We got Lisa saying hello from Endy. Sammy says hi. Hi, Sammy. Johnny says hello. Ugh. Oh, my gosh. I had a bubble right at like the worst time. Kevin says here from the Taylor House. Hannah says hi. Fallon says hello. Kevin says I hear you. Hannah
Good.
Says ha, ha, ha. Matthew says hey, everyone. Yeah, here we go. People are tuning on. We got eight people on today. Marky. Would you like to greet the people?
I will greet the people. Hello, greetings, everybody. Hope you're having an awesome day. We are so excited to be able to spend our afternoon with you guys. I see Juliet is also on. Sydney is on.
Nice.
Kevin said, hola, Wilhelm.
Hola. Wow, that's Spanish and German mixed together. I don't really know how to respond to that. Hola, Kevhelm. Sure, that's great. Barry, could you do me a very small favor right now? Could you possibly bring me my laptop so that I can get the other thing fixed? Because I'm not really sure what Buddy's doing right now. Or really where anybody else is.
Whoa. So, live editing.
Live editing. You guys are going to get to see some of the back end of what we do here.
Nice. Whoa. Okay, so while he's doing that, I want to talk to you guys. I want to know.
Thank you.
We talked about mayonnaise the other day.
Yes, we did. That was a very fruitful conversation.
It caused a lot of feelings. I actually ended up searching on ChatGPT. Which, if you don't know, is like an AI system. What some people may not know. So I asked, I was like, why is mayonnaise so, what is the word, controversial? And it actually gave me like an outline of like how it literally is such a controversial topic. So yeah. We didn't mean to do that, guys. That was like a little accident. A less controversial question is, do you like mustard?
Yes, I am a big fan of mustard. Every hot dog that I have must have mustard on it.
I like mustard a lot too, to the point that like I'll put so much mustard on something that I feel myself starting to sweat.
Really?
Like I'll get mustard to the point where it's almost spicy.
Really?
Like if you have enough of it, it's got a little bit of a kick. So I've had a lot of mustard like on hot dogs and stuff like that. I like it a lot. I like a lot of flavor.
I do too. But one thing that I've run into, and this is just me, I don't know if you guys are like this at all, I don't like a lot of sauce on my foods because I don't like my foods to be super wet and like soggy and stuff. And I found that like if I have a burger or anything with a bun, if I have too much of a sauce, it just completely ruins it for me.
Kevin said, hey, Marky Eleanor Dottie Dunphy the first.
Hello.
Wait, Kevin, does that mean that we could have a second?
What?
Does that mean like if I have a daughter, I can name her? Wait, no, but she'd have to... It doesn't really work as well with girls, though, because they don't usually keep their last name.
That's true.
So then it wouldn't really work.
What wouldn't really work? Naming your, if you had a daughter, naming your daughter after yourself?
Yeah, because we wouldn't have the same last name for our whole lives and everything. Like, she wouldn't my maiden name. So
yes.
If she did, that would be kind of weird.
That would be a little bit weird.
But other cultures do that.
Really?
Well, kind of. They have, a lot of cultures have, like, their father and their mother's last name.
That is true. Pastor Toby actually mentioned that to me when we were down in Mexico. He has like two or three different last names that he uses for different things.
Yeah.
Like on his, for like his citizenship in the U.S., he uses one last name. For stuff in Mexico, he uses a different last name. Like
really?
All of his advertising that they do for like ministry stuff, there's another one. Like I think
his,
I think it's Pastor Toby Gaona Hernandez. But he uses Pastor Toby Gaona for things and then Pastor Toby Hernandez for other things.
Interesting.
That's kind of cool. All right, Juliet says, mustard is nasty. Juliet... I am not going to be as opinionated about condiments as I was yesterday. That's okay. You cannot like mustard. That's cool.
Pastor Zach said spicy brown mustard is awesome.
I don't think I've ever had spicy brown mustard. I like a good Dijon mustard.
Okay, Seth said
Grey
he likes Dijon.
Grey Poupon is good in my book.
What?
Pastor Zach is going, mm-hmm,
what was the last
from
thing
over
you
here.
Said?
Said Grey Poupon is good in my
I
book.
I don't know what that is.
It's brown. It's Dijon mustard. It comes in like the little tins.
Oh.
Well, it's not a tin. It's a little glass jar too.
I like regular mustard more than Dijon mustard.
Really?
Yeah.
Yellow mustard's good.
Yeah. Hannah is singing a song about mustard. She just put, mustard!
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa anyway. Said, I love,
yeah,
Lisa.
It is a song.
Lisa Lamb, thank you for being here again today for this conversation, because you were the wild card and the
that
stick that was stirring the pot with mayonnaise the other day.
Very
true. You were just being authentic, just being yourself, but wow, did you cause a stir. So I'm really glad you're here today again to talk about mustard.
Do you put mustard on your pasta, Lisa? Do you? Pastor Zach says we are very biased when it comes to food.
Okay, Samantha said, Samantha said, yes, she likes mustard, I think is what she's saying. Matthew likes it, Fallon likes it. Guys, we have a lot more people like mustard than mayonnaise, apparently.
Amen. I am in the majority with you guys here. Mayonnaise, not good. Mustard, I'm with you all day. George says, George and Buddy are having some conversation about something. I don't think I want to know what that is. Andrew says, mustard's nasty. That's okay. You cannot like mustard. That's fine.
I just forgot that honey mustard exists.
Oh my gosh, honey mustard.
Wait, has anyone, what if you like, what would it be like if you like made your own honey mustard though? Like just take regular yellow mustard.
And mustard.
And then you
it's
add
not the same at all.
Honey.
It's completely different. I used to
have
do.
Have you tried?
When I was in school, the same school that yesterday, if you remember, that Abby would take chips and dip them directly in mayonnaise, we always wanted like different condiments or things to like put on things, sauces to put on food and stuff, because we had sandwiches and it was all dry. Anyway, one of my friends figured out that if you mixed ketchup, mayonnaise, and mustard in the right like combination and right percentages and whatever, right ratio, you can make something that kind of tastes like honey mustard. Now that I'm thinking about it, we were probably just Mandela affecting ourselves and really thinking that it was honey mustard that hard that it tasted like it, but I remember it being pretty good.
Well, Abby makes a sauce with ketchup and mayonnaise. I'm sorry, I'm bringing up mayonnaise again. I didn't mean to.
It's okay. It's okay.
But ketchup and mayonnaise mixed makes a really good dipping sauce.
Really?
It's kind of like a Chick-fil-A sauce or something like that.
Nice.
Pastor Zach said it is Chick-fil-A sauce.
Chick-fil-A sauce is just mayonnaise and ketchup?
Well, it might have something else in it, but it's
interesting.
It's, the base of it is probably basically that.
Huh.
Basically.
Whoa, Kevin, sorry. That comment just went away. Did you just say you put mustard on cornflakes? What? Oh, he's speaking in conjecture. Okay, he says, I'm Polish. We put mustard on our cornflakes. My grandma thought she was Polish, and then she found out that she was actually Norwegian. So I would have agreed with you on that, but no.
Also, just like Lisa is here being consistent, I'm really glad that Juliet is here again being consistent. I don't like honey mustard either.
Let's see.
She's, again, consistently like, no, I don't like it, which is great. I'm glad
that you guys are feel safe enough in this space to voice your opinions. We've created safe harbor, and that's the first step. That's the last step. Whatever step it is in the leadership process, safe harbor's a step. So, Chick-fil-A sauce, you guys. It is made from a blend of mayonnaise, barbecue sauce, honey, and yellow mustard.
Wait, say that again?
Mayonnaise, barbecue sauce, honey, and yellow mustard.
What? It doesn't have ketchup in
Pastor
it?
Pastor Zach.
He's Okay.
No, Pastor Zach is saying that I'm saying mayonnaise a weird way. It has a Y in it.
I don't
it's
say
supposed
it.
To be pronounced mayonnaise.
I don't pronounce it like
what
that.
What do you say, mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
It's not mayonnaise, it's mayonnaise.
My mom also, like, she does like a weird combination. She says mayonnaise.
She says mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Does it come from Maine?
No.
Is it Miracle Whip?
No. But yeah, how do you say
it,
guys?
Juliet, I'm so sorry. She said, wait, don't ruin Chick-fil-A sauce for me. And then like six comments down, she says, no, I can't eat CFA sauce anymore.
Chick-fil-A.
Sure you can. Miss Chrissy says, that is McDonald's special sauce. Wait, mayonnaise and ketchup is just McDonald's special sauce? That's what they put on the Big Mac?
Is what, mayonnaise?
It's just mayonnaise and ketchup.
Well, that's what, wait, what, I thought that's what, oh, we were talking about Chick-fil-A.
We were.
And Chick-fil-A sauce is similar,
different.
Though.
All of the sauces are pretty much the same. You have a base, you have spices, and then they end up tasting weird in the end, and I don't like them, but it's fine.
Well, also, I'm just going to put, hey, why not put an opinion out there?
It's
yeah,
time
for
not?
Opinions, guys.
Just throw a food opinion out there. It may become a family chat question.
Yeah.
Though. I don't know.
I think Zach's sauce is better than Chick-fil-A sauce.
From Zaxby's?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hmm. It's a little bit of a stronger flavor.
I'd love to have an opinion on this, but again, I don't like sauce. So I don't really know.
What?
Yeah. We went over this like 6 minutes ago.
I think I blocked it out.
You probably did. Like, I'm not a big sauce guy.
That's not okay.
Food needs to be good dry, and if it's good dry, then you can add sauce.
No, right. You're just keeping fun from your life.
Buddy said add a dash of MSG. What are we adding a dash of MSG to?
It's probably all of these. I don't know.
There's probably something. Oh, he said add a dash of MSG to all of it. Yep. Gotta love that monosodium glutamate. All right. Let's see. Seth says, let's be honest, Polynesian's better anyway. Polynesian's the green sauce, right?
No.
What's Polynesian
Isn't
sauce?
Polynesian like the clear...
Polynesian's the red one?
It's like
clear sauce?
It's like clear-ish.
Is that like... did they bring back Crystal Pepsi and just put it in a little
it's
container?
It's like... transparent. It look, I don't actually know what I don't totally remember what Polynesian tastes like. But in my head, it's like sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Asian blend.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, we have our 100th comment of the day,
yay!
Which is
Andrew.
You are our 100th comment saying mayo gives Chick-fil-A sauce flavor. Interesting. You can go to whatsright.com/gift to claim your gift, or you can scan the QR code right here. I did that perfectly. My hand was right there. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Let's see what else everybody's saying. Miss Chrissy says, no to MSG. It promotes cancer cells. Okay. Andrew says, Zaxby's sauce is good. Kelly Fehrenbach. Kelly, it's so good to see you. She says, Big Mac sauce. McDonald's famous secret sauce is made with mayonnaise, sweet pickle relish, and yellow mustard along with spices. Interesting.
So it's not a secret anymore.
So it's really not. You have just revealed one of the biggest fast food secrets of all time.
Oh,
can
no.
we get the sound? Give me a dun-dun-dun. Do we have that somewhere? There it is.
Great
thought that was
job.
On the soundboard.
George? Is it George?
It is George.
Sammy?
Yep,
wait,
it's George.
Where is Sammy?
Sammy's in the comments. She's right there.
Sammy, where are you? Okay.
Anyway. Ooh, Pastor's here. I think he put an emoji in because it's not showing up on Restream.
Hi!
She's smiley face and hi. Hi, sir.
Hi,
how's
Pastor.
It going? Well,
okay.
With that, I think it's time to go over to declarations.
It is.
As we head over there, guys, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share this video, put it on Facebook, put it on MySpace, put it on WeChat if you have it. Just if there's an avenue for you to share this broadcast, do, because it's really important that this gets out. And make sure that you like, because that helps the algorithm know to promote our video, and then we get more people to watch. So, with that, we're going over to declarations. We'll see you there in just a second.
Bye-bye. Do you guys remember how a few weeks ago we were talking during family chat and we asked you guys to rank who you thought the most opinionated of us could be? It turns out the answer is all of us. Everyone. As soon as we start talking about condiments, everyone, except for Buddy, who just is mid in his responses per his comment earlier. So it's just all of us, good self-awareness, so that way we can move on. Also, Pastor Brian is in the comments, and he says he is looking forward to being back in the studio tomorrow. So today, he's not here, but he will be back tomorrow, and it's going to be an awesome broadcast with him. But right now, share the broadcast, let people know that we're live, because today we are about to hop into the basics of the gospel that most believers have forgotten.
So make sure that you share the broadcast. It's going to be great. Right now, we're going to take the time to just kind of hit the reset button. If you got up all up in your feelings during mustard versus mayonnaise versus ketchup, it's a great time to just kind of drop all that weight. Glory be to God. We love the Juliets. We love everyone who holds the opposite opinion as well, like William. The mustard lovers are not. All together, we're going to seek the face of God. We're going to drop weight, drop care, and enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. And we're going to release our faith on today's declarations. So if you will, join your voice with ours here in the studio. Let's say this together as one company and watch as God performs His word as we send it to accomplish the will of God. Let's put today's declaration up on the screen. We have divine health in our bodies now, and we carry an anointing for supernatural healing. In the name of Jesus, we have that health now. It's in us, operating strongly and manifesting through us in the name of Jesus. And look, Juliet and Sammy look like they like each other again. Look, the Lord works all things together. Unity and love. That's what this is about, guys. Our next declaration, the one that we say every day, because this is our word of the year. God's told us this is what we're to be expecting every time we gather together. So today on this broadcast, let's be expecting the fire of God in new ways. A fresh flow of His fire, a fresh anointing be on this broadcast. Let's say this declaration together. This is our year of the fire. Lord, in the name of Jesus, over this broadcast now, let Your fire flow in strong, strong, strong ways in the name of Jesus. Fill us fresh today with Your Holy Ghost, Jesus, and with the fire of God. Prepare this ground now for the seed of the word, and we, with expectation, receive, get into that reception mode now in Jesus' name. Amen. We love y'all so much. Thank you for being on. And now let's head over to Pastor Zach on Lunch Plus on what's the word? Talking about the basics of the gospel that other believers have forgotten. Let's hop in now.
I was waiting for the one, and there was not a one. Oh, it's so good to see you today. Go ahead and put in the comments who you are, where you're watching from. We know we have Brother Brian in the comments. We have Chrissy saying, this is my year of fire. We have Serena saying, amen. Lisa Lamb saying, our year of the fire. We have Seth saying, fire. And then we have Lisa Lamb again. Oh, my goodness, they went way too fast. Okay, we have Seth saying here from Florida. Jennifer is saying hello from Charlotte. Chrissy said, hey, Pastor Zach, hello. So good to see you. Samantha says hello from home. There's a lot of people on in the comment. I cannot keep up with them. They're going very fast. Courtney says, hey, from Havelock. So good to have you on. I was going to pronounce your name wrong, but then I decided not to. Let's keep going. Go ahead and go down some more. Let's see. Serena says, hey, watching from Albemarle. We have Hannah on. She's watching from Stanfield. Kelly, glad to have you back in the United States. I think you've been back for a little bit. I hope your trip was wonderful. Lewis, so good to have you on. He says, what's up, y'all? We got Johnny on from High Rock. We have Sydney on from Salisbury. Lewis said he's listening from work. We have a lot of people on. Amen. This is awesome. So glad to have y'all on. And we'll continue to pray about everybody's opinion that they have on food as we continue to go on, because that's when a lot of bias comes out. Barrett says, hi, hi, hi. Michael Veach says, hello from Rockingham. And Matthew says, hello from my front yard. Amen. Turn it up louder so the neighbors can hear. Amen. So today, yesterday we talked about a pretty big topic, and it was just keeping the gospel simple. You know, there's a saying that, keep it simple. And a lot of times we overly complicate the gospel. We overcomplicate the word because we try to get into the depths of it, and we actually end up missing the overall what the word is actually trying to teach us because we're trying to justify how deep we can get into the word. And today, as I was just praying about it, the Lord was like, hey, I want you to go through some topics that people have overly complicated, that they've gotten too deep into the weeds of it to try to figure it out and connect all the dots in our head. So that's exactly what today's broadcast is going to be, is simply, this is really what our title says, the basics of the gospel that most believers forget, and they forget because they try to get too technical with it. Today, we're just going to do a simple overlay of it. And as I was talking to the Lord about it, he was like, just show the basics of it. Just lay a foundation of simply, hey, this is what the word says. And I was like, I asked the Lord, I was like, which ones are you wanting to do? Is there certain ones? And he just began to give us certain ones. Like, we're going to cover a little bit on righteousness, a little bit on prosperity, a little bit on joy, a little bit on tongues, a little bit on love, healing, and faith. And just simply see, what does the Bible say about it? Not try to get into and try to figure out the mechanics of it. Just what does the Bible say about it? So are y'all ready to dive in? If you're ready to dive in, put some hands up in the comments. Give a thumbs up. This would be one that you would want to share out to just because it covers the basics. So like I said, yesterday we was talking about the simplicity of the gospel. Basically that in order to be able to go into the fullness of who God is, what you want to do is just know the basics of him. Pastor said, LOL, did I say something wrong? All right, so I want to read this scripture to you. No, not all that today. No. what I wanted to do with you today, though, is I want to read this scripture. Yesterday, I was, after we got done with everything, I was just listening to a message from Brother Tracy. And it was Sunday's message, and he said a scripture, and I was like, oh my goodness, where was that scripture at earlier? Like, obviously it was in there, but it really just it really showed the simplicity of it, because listen to what it says. He goes, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and he says this, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Put that in the comments. You ready? Say this with me. Type this out. Put it in the comments. There is simplicity in Christ. He's not complicated. It's not. You don't have to figure out the nuts and the bolts of how everything works, how it all fits together, how it all knits together. No. You don't have to do all that. It is just simply simple in him. The simplicity that is in Christ. We don't have to overcomplicate it. It's when we start trying to figure everything out that it gets extremely, extremely, extremely complicated. So one of the ones that over the years that I've been in ministry or been around Christians or been around is the topic of righteousness. I remember growing up, there was this mentality, I've got to get righteous. I've got to be righteous. I've got to do some kind of work in order to make myself right, in order to make myself full, in order to make myself acceptable to God. So people would do these all-out studies. And I remember, you know, there's even doctrines that are made where if in order to be righteous, you got to wear this type of clothing. You got to do these actions. You've got to study this amount. You've got to know these topics. You've got to all these different things that was built up. And it was just simply trying to get to a state of being that God makes you when you receive him based upon your works. And as I've gotten older and I started getting a revelation of righteousness, I started understanding that righteousness is not something that I work in order to get. It's not something that I try to figure out the mechanics of to make it work. That's not any of that. I want to show you what the Bible says about it. It's very simple to become righteous. Actually, it's not even really something that you do. A righteousness is something that you are created in when you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. So, watch this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Because I want to show you these two scriptures. There's two scriptures that we're going to look at on righteousness. And like I said, we may get through all of these. I highly doubt we may not get through all of these. But that's also why we have the broadcast, so we can go and hit some of these. And there's some that the Lord may stick out and he may make us hang around on, and that's okay. There's a reason why the Lord's doing this. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 16, and then we'll go through the end of that chapter. Chapter. All right, verse 16 says this. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All right, so let's stop there. Well, let me read the rest of that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, verse 18, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. All right, now listen to verse 21. You ready? It says this, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. All right, did you see what that scripture just said? That scripture said that there was nothing, no works that you could do to make yourself right. Right? But this is what it says. When we go back to verse 7, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The new creation, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You get to verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the minute that we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, we immediately become righteous. There's not a work that you have to do. There's not an amount of studying you have to do. There's not an amount of understanding that you have to have. There's not an amount of, I have to look this way, I have to act this way. No, you become righteous the moment that you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. In fact, this new creation is actually created in righteousness. So I'll show you that one. Go over to Ephesians 4. And go to verse 22. And this is what verse 22, 23, and 24 says, right? That in reference to your former manner of life, you will lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. Now see what that just said? I'm going to read verse 24 again, and I'm going to read it a little bit slower so you can catch on to that. And put on the new self. All right? Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says that you have become a new creation. The old self, it has passed away. It no longer exists. It no longer has authority. It no longer has power. Look at what this verse says. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created. So the new you, the new person that you are, you have been created in the likeness of the Lord God himself. And look at what it says after that. And in that likeness of God has been created. Not will one day soon, if you do all the right stuff, if you know, there's an old saying that we have, if you hold your mouth right, you hold your tongue right, or, you know, the whole, the wishing it and that kind of stuff, you know, crisscross or crossing your fingers for good luck. It has nothing to do with any of that. But it says, has put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness. So look at what that scripture just said. That scripture just told us this, that when we receive Christ Jesus, the new you, who you really are, was made, and the substance that it was made in was righteousness. And not only righteousness, and holiness of the truth. So when you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, the new you was created in a righteous state, in a righteous place. And righteousness, the Bible says this, that you are right with God. There is no work that you can do that's going to make you right with God. But receiving Jesus as Lord, all of a sudden, immediately puts you in right standing with God. It changes your very DNA to you are the righteousness of God in Christ. See, now it is at this point that a lot of people will go, well, what's the mechanics of it? How did when me receive Jesus as Lord, how did that shift? How did that change everything? That kind of stuff, later as you begin to mature, the Lord will say, you know, you'll find out there's different things in Scripture that'll show you that. But starting out in the basics of it, this is how you are made righteous. You don't need to go any further than that at the moment. It's just right now, just do this with me. Say, Lord, I see right now in Scripture that because you are my Lord and you are my Savior, because I have received Christ Jesus as Lord, and I want you to say this, I want you to put this in the comments. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Put that in the comments. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. To shorten it and say, I am righteous. Just put that in the comments. What that is doing is you're getting that from your head into your spirit. I am righteous. I'm made righteousness. Like literally, this scripture right here said, the new you, who you really are, the very DNA of your new man is made from righteousness. And isn't that a whole lot easier than trying to work to try to be righteous? But our brains want to go, ooh, I've got to figure out how to be righteous. No, 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 no. If you've received Jesus as Lord, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ. You are already righteous. Now, there's a couple of different other ones. And let's see. What's another one? This is another one. That I think has really, really hit the body of Christ to try to earn. And these are some of the ones that as I'm sitting here, the Lord's just saying, go over the ones that people think they have to earn. People think they have to earn the love of God. They think it is something that if I can put and do the right things, I can say the right things, I can do the right works, then I will somehow earn this love that he has. But the love of God is not something that can be earned. In fact, God loves you so much now that it's impossible for him to love you anymore. See, God is not a God that withholds himself. And we'll see that, and we'll simply do this. Go to John 3:16. And I'll be turning there now as we're talking about it. Because I want to read it to you exactly like the Word says it. Let's see. All right, so now watch this. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you, and I want you to see this because it's extremely important that we get this. We don't need to complicate God's love. And this is how we complicate God's love. Let me figure out how to earn God's righteousness. Let me figure out how to earn God's love. Let me figure out how to earn God. And I'm going to do that because I'm going to study all the scripture. And if I know the ins and outs and the nuances of the scripture and how they all fit together, then somehow that's going to make him love me. But that's a works-based love. And we just saw that righteousness comes not by work, but by receiving Jesus as Lord. And then the new you is created in the very DNA of righteousness, right? Let's look at this love that we've been given. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Stop there. Let's not go any further. For God loved the world. All right, so what we need to see something is this, that God, from the very beginning of time, from the very existence, His love, literally from Him, is why all this stuff was created. God operates by love. He is love. So everything God does comes from the position of love. So the very earth in and of itself, the world, the atmosphere, everything that we knew it, everything that as we know it, comes from the place of love. Now look at what it says here. For God so loved the world. Now, I'm 35 years old. My birthday was a couple of weeks ago. It was March 18th. The world is older than 35 years. Now I want you to see this. Like, this is really, really simple, but sometimes it's hard for our brain, because what we do, we tend to view everything from where we are forward. And a lot of times when you look at Scripture, you got to go back to the beginning with God. How was God before I was, right? This Scripture right here tells you, for God loved the world. So before anything ever happened, before anything was for sin, for any mess ups, God loved the world. And how much did He love the world? Well, let's keep going. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, see this. This is what it says. That God loves, and because He loves, He gave His Son. So God is saying, I love you so much that I'm going to give my only begotten Son, the one that Holy Spirit came and overshadowed Mary and birthed in Him, put God's seed in Mary and birthed out Jesus, right? He says, I gave Him up for you because I love you so much. So before I was thought of by our parents, before our parents, 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 to however many degrees was thought of, Jesus said, or God said this, I love you and I'm going to give my Son for you. And at this time, He's going to die for you and for your sins. And He did this before you as a believer. In fact, one scripture says that before the foundations of the world was laid, the Lamb was slain. So God loved us so much that from the very beginning of the creation of the world itself, God says, I love you. Now, what we do, because our minds are corrupted, we go, well, I need to find a way to earn this love. So let me go through the depths of understanding every single thing about love. But here's the simplicity of it. God loves you regardless if you understand His love or not. God desires you. He cares about you. He sees His thoughts about you outnumber the grains of sand that are in the world. And there's nothing that you can do to change that. There's nothing that we can do to change God's love for us. Nothing that we can do to make it to where we can earn more of God's love. Because He loves us in the unconditional love, and He completely gave Himself out. See, that He completely gave His love when He gave, you know, sometimes, like, think about it like this. You know, when we go to give our, like, I have kids, and they'll come up, Daddy, I need money, right? This is what I don't do, right? This is what I don't do. I don't go, they don't come up to me and like, Daddy, let me have $5. And then I go to them and I check what's in my bank account and completely write a check and give everything in my bank account for that $5 fee. Right? I don't do that. But God says, I've given you all of me. I've given you all of my love. I've given you all of my kingdom. I've given you every part of me. Everything that I am, I have given it to you. So now watch this. When did He give it to us? Did He give it to us when everything was perfect? Did He give it to us when everything was wonderful? How much was this love? Well, go to Romans 5. Now see this, because this is a scripture. Pastor said, it's probably about 3 or 4 months ago. pastor said this, and he said this scripture has just been coming up to him more and more and more lately because the Lord was dealing with him on love. He said it, I forget the broadcast that we were on, but as he read this scripture, it just bubbled up in me. I was like, oh, like it just hit me again, the fullness of his love. It says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. All right, now, so this scripture right here, that was Romans 5:6. For while we were still helpless, so there was no benefit to God to save us. Look, for we were still helpless, right? So there was nothing that we could do to earn because we were completely helpless. We were without help. There was nothing for us to offer. He says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Those that are not following God, those that are not receiving from God, those that are against God. All right? Then it says, verse 7, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to even die. But now, look at verse 8 right here. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were the worst that we could possibly be, Jesus died for us. Christ died for us. That is the love of God. While we were enemies, while we were against him, while we had nothing to offer, the Lord God told Jesus, I'm going to send you down. You're going to die on the cross because I love them so much. I'm going to give you as an offering to them. And as I do that, as they believe on you, I'm going to make them righteous. I'm going to make them like you are to me. When I see them, even though in the natural, they're sinful, ugly, nasty creation, because the sin makes it unpleasant to look at, right? God goes, I'm not going to see them through sin. I'm going to see them through the lens of love. In fact, I'm going to see them through the lens of love, the same love that I have for you, Jesus. It's in John 17, I believe it's John 17, 23. Jesus is praying and he says this. He goes, Father, I believe, it's my prayer that as you and I are one, they become one. And then at the end of that verse, it says this, and that you love them as you have loved me. Put that in the comments. God loves me at the level in which he loves Jesus. It's not something that you can earn. My children did not have to earn my love. I love them because they exist. And there's nothing that could ever change that. I love them regardless, and I will always love them. Now, see this. Look at what the Lord is doing here. He goes, I love you like I love Jesus himself. When he sees us, he sees Jesus in us. And he loves us at the level that he loves Jesus himself. Wow. Just set that sink in. You're not lower than Jesus. In fact, Jesus lifted you up to the same level as Jesus, and God loves you at that level. Like, this is not super duper deep revelation. This is literally the basics of Christianity. This is literally it's Christianity 101. It's not deep. It's not big. It's not massive. It's not this great, like, can you do the little, It's not that kind of revelation. This is just simply what the Word says. I'm going to read Romans 5:8 one more time, and I just want you to receive that. Like, receive what he's saying right here in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love. Now, think about that right there. Just think about that for just a second. God demonstrates his own love. This is not someone else's love. This is not a love that of any other type of love. Like, listen to what that scripture says. God demonstrates his own love. So he gave him. He gave himself. And he goes, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. Not to anybody else. Listen, he did not even show his own love to the animals. He didn't show own love to the earth and the expanse and the heavens and all of that. No. The Bible says right here that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we was at our worst, he gave us his best. He gave us himself. Now, this is real simple, and I know right now some people are going, why are we going over this? Because sometimes we try to complicate it. Sometimes we try to get into, well, now that I'm a Christian, I need to prove that I was worth saving. But that's not a that's not having a revelation of God's love. That's actually going against the simplicity of it, that God loves me regardless of what I do. God loves me regardless of what happens, regardless of the mistakes I made. So, for instance, with this, let's say that I leave right now and I make a really big mistake. Like, you know, I don't think of some kind of mistake that you can make. In the moment of making that mistake, in the moment of sinning in whatever way that may be, does God's love cease? Does God's love change? Does his love and his affection, if you want to use that word, does any of that change? No. Not at all. Because he handled sin. Because this right here says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we was the worst that worst could be, he loved us enough to have Jesus die for on our behalf. So how is he going to love us less that in the worst state that you can possibly be in, he sent Jesus to die for you anyway? This is right. If you just think about this, right? We have this tendency, and I can tell you this, and I say we, I'm going to change it. I've had this tendency that I've messed up. And I will go before God. I've done this in the past. I don't do this now because I've gotten a revelation of the Lord, got a revelation of the love of God. But I'll mess up. I used to mess up, and I would go sit at the feet of my bed. All right, I want you to see this. I would sit at the feet of my bed, and I would go, God, I'm horrible. I did this, and I know you right now. You don't love me. And I'm boo-hoo. Snotting everywhere, crying, and I'm begging for God to love me. Because in my brain, in my thoughts, because I didn't have a revelation of that God loves me. Because honestly, I don't even know at that point I had read Romans 5:8. So I would sit there and I'm begging God to forgive me. Begging God to forgive me. Begging him. And then I remember in that moment, all of a sudden, a peace hit me. And I didn't know what it was at the time. He goes, what are you doing? And I remember it was not long after that. I messed up pretty bad. And I remember this came through, this came through someone that I was really close to. And I thought after I messed up, he was going to have nothing to do with me. I was like, he wants nothing to do with me after that. And he pulls me over. He goes, why are you avoiding me? And I was like, well, I know I messed up and I know it's bad and I know you probably don't want me around anymore. So I was just, this is my thought process, right? So I'm go ahead and I'm preparing myself now for you to tell me to leave. And he looked at me and he goes, why would I ever do that? And he goes, and this is when he began to show me this. He goes, and he showed me this in scripture. He goes, I have a love for you that goes beyond a mess up. He goes, I understand you're learning. I understand all these things are happening. He goes, do you think the Lord God throws you out just because you sin? And I looked at him and I said, yeah, because I've messed up and sin is bad. And he goes, has sin not been handled? And I went, oh my goodness. And it started clicking for me then. And I realized, God loves me. I don't have to earn his love. Watch this. I don't even have to necessarily understand it. I just receive. He loves me. When I was at my worst, when you were at your worst, when the body, when this world was at its absolute worst, he demonstrated his love and say, I love you regardless of your sin, regardless of what you've done. Now, I despise sin, right? But I love you and I'm going to set you free from it. There's one more that I want to talk about. And that is, and I want to talk to you about healing. Because healing can be applied in multiple different ways. You have righteousness, you have healing, and you know that one of the other ones I talked about was faith. And you can, I could even show you in Scripture where part of God's love, he gave you faith. Like literally, the Bible talks about in Romans 12:3 that each is given a measure of faith. So even God loves you so much. Now think about this. Let's talk about that just for a second, faith there. That God loves you so much. So much that he goes, without faith, it's impossible to receive Jesus, right? So he goes, I love them so much that what I'm going to do, I'm going to create a way for them to receive a measure of faith so they can receive Christ Jesus as Lord. What it says in Romans 12:3. That he's given to each a measure of faith. That's not all of the scripture. There's just the latter part of it. He goes, I have given to each a measure of faith. And then in Romans, we see this too in Romans 10. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So as this word of God is being preached, right? It's coming out of our mouth. And though you hear it in words that you understand, all of a sudden, what's actually happening, there's a deposit, there's a transfer that's happening. And as these words are going into your ear, what's actually being deposited in you is faith to be able to grab hold of this as the truth, right? So he gives you that to be able to receive. That's why he says in Mark 11, that we believe that what you say is yours, and when you believe it, you shall have it. It's simple. So right now, you can say this. Lord, I believe that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, Jesus, I receive you as Lord, and therefore I believe that I have you. And all of a sudden, if you've never prayed that prayer before, you just confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and there was faith that was imparted into you from speaking, right? And you just receive it, and it's yours, because God loves you. He sent me at this moment in time to tell you about his love, to tell you that you can receive him. And then he deposited faith in you. And then you go, yes, Lord, I receive that and I thank you. And in that moment, you're made righteous. You no longer have to work to try to get God to accept you. You no longer have to work to try to get God to love you. He already does. Now, I want you to see this. And this is why this is one of the things in the healing handles. And this is why I believe the Lord's wanting to do that. A lot of time, people try to be right in order to receive their healing. Well, let me do all the right steps in order to receive it, right? You don't have to do the right steps. Because in God's love for you, it's his love that heals you. Put that in the comments. It is God's love that has healed you. Right? Say, I'm going to say that one more time. It is God's love that has healed me. Well, Pastor Zach, how can you say that? Well, I'm going to read to you some scriptures, and I want you to see when, because we just read the scripture earlier that says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So it was in when Jesus was given, he was giving from a place of love, right? We saw that. We've already covered that. Now, in that love, God handled everything. Everything that ever needed to be handled, sin-wise, was handled in that moment. Now, I want you to see this. We're going to go to, these are the three scriptures that these to me, and this is my opinion, okay? These are the scriptures that show that healing is yours now. I go to Isaiah 53 and go to verses 3 through 5. Now, I'm going to say this the way that the Lord told me to say it one time, and it's just kind of stuck with me. So I've just said it that way since. Hold on 1 second. Let me get there. As I'm turning there, this is kind of the way the Lord told me to say it. He goes, Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit had Isaiah writing in past tense, even though he was in the future, or he had Isaiah writing in past tense, even though he was speaking of a future event. Now listen to this, verse 3. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to listen to the verbiage here, right? And put this in the comments. I do not have to earn healing. And when I'm talking about healing, I'm talking about healing in any capacity. Right now, you may need healing in your body. You may need healing in your finances. You may need healing in your mind. You may need healing in a relationship. You may need, wherever the case, some kind of healing where there's some kind of lack. Listen to me. God has handled it by the anointing. He handled it through his love, and his love released the anointing to break every yoke off your life. There is not a place where this is something that the Lord has been showing me. Like I've been studying this a lot lately. And the anointing is the cure for all lack. Say that with me. Just say it right now. The anointing is the cure for all lack. You see that? The scriptures that really point that out the most is Luke 4:18. He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Well, let me tell you what's not good news to poor people, that they've got to remain poor even though there's an answer for it. So when the anointing was released, this is what was really said. You no longer have to be poor. In fact, the spirit of poverty that was on you, it has been destroyed, and healing is coming to your finances right now. That's what that scripture says. But I want you to see this in Isaiah 53, because we're on the topic of healing right now. But see this, because these have become some of my favorite scriptures. And when the Lord showed me this, that Isaiah was in the past, but he was writing about a future event, but he was using past tense verbiage, everything changed for me. Because I was like, wait a minute, all this is already handled. I'm not waiting on this. I've already got it. Well, look at this. He was despised, past tense. Not going to be, because this is Isaiah. This event has not taken place yet. This is something that's coming. Watch this. He was despised and forsaken of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from men who hid their face. He was despised. And we did not esteem him. Listen, all this is past tense. This ain't even happened yet. But Isaiah's like, no, this has already happened. Like, this has already happened. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore. Wait a minute. He's already bore griefs. That sickness. He's already bore sickness and disease. He's already bore any kind of ailment, any kind of issue, right? And our sorrows he carried. Like, do you see that? Not, you know, your sickness and disease, literally, God said this, I'm done with them carrying sickness and disease. I'm done with them carrying the curse. So what we're going to do, I'm going to send Jesus on the cross, and he's going to walk up to each sinner who had ever lived, and he's going to take their sin, and he's going to take what he is, righteousness, and he's going to put it, he's going to make you the righteousness of God. So picture this image, right? Picture Jesus standing before you and you standing before him out on the place of the cross. And Jesus reaching out, and it's like his hand just goes into, like his hand just goes here, and all of a sudden he picks up and this just nasty looking stuff just comes off, right? And then all of a sudden you can breathe. Then all of a sudden, think about Jesus reaching into himself, pulling a piece of him out and putting that in you. And all of a sudden, you become the very image of Christ himself. That's what took place. That's the simplicity of it. He became what we were so that we could become what he is. I'll say that again. He became and took and carried what we were so that we could become what he is. He is the Son of God. You and I are the sons of God. Amen. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him. And by, now look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. This is my favorite, one of my favorite verses. I say that all the time about scripture, but like this is my favorite verse. But it's just, it's so good. Whew. And by his scourging, we are healed. You're not going to be healed. See, that's what people want to try to figure out. They try to overcomplicate it. I've got to figure out how to be healed. No, 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 no. We are healed. All right, now watch this. Go to Matthew 8, 17. We see here in Matthew 8, 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, do you see this? This right here states this, that if a disease tries to come upon you, it does not have the right to. Because Jesus took that disease, took that sickness upon himself, and Jesus literally, the Bible, look at what it says, carried away our diseases. That means that it is no longer available and nor has the authority to come upon you. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Say this with me. There's no disease. You don't have to put this in the comments because this is going to be long. There's no sickness or disease that has the right to be on me. Do you hear that? Do you see that? That's why one of our confessions is that we walk in divine health. Like, that's one of our confessions. I know I shortened it. But we have divine health in our bodies now, and we carry the anointing for supernatural healing. This is part of where we get these scriptures from. That's the simplicity of it. Now go to either 1 Peter 2:24 or 2 Peter 2:24. I believe it's 1 Peter 2:24. All right. As I flipped here, I looked down, and this is 1 Peter 3, and it says this, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. Oh, say that with me. Say, I am righteous, and God hears my prayers. Hey, I don't know where that came from, but I just saw that, and I was like, oh, that's good. I am righteous, and the Lord hears my prayers. Why do you think the enemy wants to get rid of you, make you think you're not righteous? Because if you don't think you're righteous, you won't believe God hears your prayers. But right here it says, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and he hears our prayers. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. I don't know who that was for, but the Lord was like, read that now. I was like, amen. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins. Now listen to this piece right here. This piece, have you noticed how everything has been past tense? There's nothing that's been one day when you figure out healing that somehow it'll work. That's not what the word says here. It says it's already done. 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins. To bore something or to bear something means to take it up on oneself. So Jesus, this scripture says, and he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross. All right? So watch this. He bore our sins on the cross for what purpose? So that we might die to sin. So when you die to something, it no longer has the capability to come upon you. That means it no longer has authority and it no longer has power. All right? And he says, and it says, watch this. Look, it says, die to sin, but live. Live to righteousness. Do you see that? Live to righteousness. Now look at this piece right here. For by his wounds, in 1 Peter 2:24 it says, and for by his wounds you were healed. Not one day you will be healed. No. If I was healed, if the Bible says that on the cross, because in context here in 1 Peter 2:24, it says that when Jesus was beat and he hung on the cross, his wounds healed me. That's what that scripture says. So if I was healed on the cross, that means I am healed right now. Say that with me. I am healed right now. Put it in the comments. I am healed right now. And put right now, put do this. Put I am healed in all caps. And right now, I am healed right now. Say that with me. I am healed right now. Get that in you. I am healed right now. You know what this doesn't say? That you have to figure out how to be healed. It doesn't say that I need to understand healing, so I'm going to go through the complexity of the word, and I'm going to figure out how all of this. No. He says, I healed you on the cross. What did he heal on the cross? Anything that needed to be healed was healed on the cross. Anything that needed to be fixed, it was handled on the cross. Anything that sin brought, it was done away with, it was defeated on the cross. Now watch this. That's the simplicity of it. God loved you. He made you righteous. He made it so you can live in righteousness, and he healed you from any part of the curse. There's no part of the curse that has the authority to do anything to you. Now, that's where we're going to stop at today. There's so many more little simplistic things that I want to go, like, it's in me, like, go over this. Oh, but it's not for today. If we have time and the Lord leads, we'll go through that at the end of the week, later on in the week, or maybe some other time as the Lord brings it back up. But right now, I want you to do this. I want you to say this to yourself. Ready? Say this. Say, I am righteous. I am loved. And I am healed. Say that with me one more time. I am righteous. I am loved. And I am healed. Oh, Father, I don't have to earn it. I just receive it. Now, I know there is part of you that wants to, like, dive into the depths of it. Don't. Just receive it. I'm righteous, I am loved, and I am healed. right now, I'm having put down the urge to go, ooh, let me learn more. No. I am righteous, I am loved, and I am healed. I am righteous, I am loved, and I am healed. I am righteous, I am loved, and I am healed. And all these was given. All of those was given, and you don't have to figure out how they work. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I just want you to receive. I'm going to pray for there to be a revelation of righteousness, a revelation of God's love, and a revelation that you are the healed of the Lord. And as I pray, I want you to grab hold of that. This is not going to be like an in-depth prayer. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm going to pray, and the anointing is going to be released, and you're going to feel the presence of God's love. If there's any person, as I'm praying, if you have any sickness, if you have any disease, if there's any lack in your body, any lack in your finances, any lack in any place, as I release the anointing, the healing, where healing needs to be, a healing will be. Where a miracle needs to be, a miracle will be. Whatever the case would be, as I release it, that's what's about to take place. And then I'm also going to pray for you to have a revelation of God's love. And I'm going to use a word, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to use, but I want to tell you I don't mean emotionally. But I want that there's a feeling that you get when you're in the presence of God, right? And in the presence of God, you feel His love, and His love will embrace you. And as I pray that, that's what I'm going to pray. And you're going to feel that. You're going to feel the presence of God fill your room and just embrace you in His love. And then in that moment, you'll know that the only way that you can be is in His presence is if you're righteous. Okay? Father, right now, I just thank You for who You are. I thank You for what You've done. And Lord, right now, wherever they may be, if it's in the workplace, fill the place, Father, with Your presence right now. We thank You for it. Father, let them know Your love. Let them get revelation of Your love. Like last night, I embraced Ezekiel and I just pulled him up in my lap and I held him. And last night after worship practice, Jocelyn was asleep and I just picked her up and I held her. And she, in that moment, she just grabbed me and held me. Father, just right now, reach out and just grab Your children and let them experience the love of God in a way that they never have. Father, we pray right now for wisdom, knowledge, and revelation of Your love be to those watching this broadcast, whether it be those watching live or years, months, weeks, seconds later in the archive. Father, let Your love fall upon them now in Jesus' name. Father, let revelation of righteousness begin to fill this place. Let them know that they are kept and they belong to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to God Most High, that their Father is the Son of, that their Father is the Lord God. And we've been created and redesigned a brand new creation in the very righteousness of You, Lord Jesus. And Father, as I'm praying, Lord Jesus, on the cross, You handled any sickness, You handled any disease, You handled any lack, You handled anything that ever needed to be handled. Father, it says it right there in the Word, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter 2:24 declares that all sickness is handled, all lack is handled, all disease is handled, any kind of issue that needed to be handled is handled. And Father, as I release this, I know what You're going to do. You're going to release Your love. And as You release Your love, there's going to be an anointing that was released. And any pain that anybody is feeling, we command right now, in the name of Jesus, pain, we curse you and you're not allowed to be in that body. We declare right now, healing be in Jesus' name. If there be any sickness, if there be any disease, we command right now, by the authority of heaven, we demand in the name of Jesus, sickness, disease, leave every body of every partner and everybody associated with this ministry in any type of way, shape, form, or fashion. We command right now and demand that sickness and disease, You be removed from our midst, and we command this in the name of Jesus. You have no authority to be able to operate. Curse in any way, shape, form, or fashion, in the form of poverty, in the form of any other way it can show itself, depression, anxiety, fear, we command, curse, listen, we command right now in the name of Jesus for You be removed. You no longer have the authority to operate. We've been set free. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You do not have the ability to operate in us. You do not have the ability to touch us. We do not receive You. Because Jesus has died on the cross. He rose again, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. He loves us, and we love Him, and we've been healed. We've been set free. We've been redeemed from any curse. And we thank You, Lord, right now, that all this is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Is that this word was able to touch you today? Go ahead and put some hands up in the comments. I just want to thank you for your time today and sticking with us. We love you so very much. And if you would like to, you can sow this way. I'm getting better at it. If you can go to GiveWW on, you can go to the Cash App and do GiveWW. Go to Venmo and go do GiveBC, PayPal, Text to Give. All of those different ways right there. The easiest way, if you want to type it in your phone, go to givewww.org. And what this is doing, you're actually partnering with us as we partner with you to help get the anointing out to the world. This is a broadcast that we give completely free on every weekday, and we sow this word into you so that we can then, so that you can receive this and then go out and make disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, and just help partner with us as we get this anointing all throughout the world. And if you would like to partner with us in doing that, or you would like to sow in today's word and just have a point of contact there, then do that. And what we're going to do, we're going to hand it over to William. He's going to bless this seed that's being sowed. And this is what else he's going to do. He's going to tell you about some things that we have upcoming. We have a lot upcoming in the ministry coming up, like in the Philippines here in a couple of weeks. We're about to head to the Philippines, release the fire of God, strengthen them, and just see them go to a new level. It's going to be so good. And we're so excited that for you to partner with us as we do that. So we love you so much. Here's William.
Hey guys, before we pray, there's one thing that the Lord had brought up for me to share with you guys. Just taking a second before we pray. One of the easiest ways that you can sow into this broadcast is by liking, subscribing, and commenting. And I know it sounds really dumb. A lot of YouTubers and channels and stuff would say that before YouTube videos start or say it at the end. But that is one of the easiest ways that you guys can partner with this broadcast in the same way that when you sow financially on Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, just sowing into the ministry, that's another way that you guys can sow into the ministry. It seems kind of weird, but those are the things that YouTube looks at to promote our videos and get the gospel out to more people. So the higher numbers there are in the comments, the higher numbers there are in the likes, the higher numbers in the subscriptions, that's just forcing YouTube to put the gospel out to more people. So as we pray, go right ahead and do that as well. Sow into that way too. But like Pastor Zach said, let's bless the seed. Father, right now, we thank you for the opportunity to sow. Thank you that every seed sown today is sown into good soil. And thank you that we have good soil that we get to sow into. Father, right now, we thank you that every seed sown today is blessed, is pressed down, shaken together, and running over, returning to the sower in Jesus' name. Blessed abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for joining us today. This was an awesome, awesome word. I really received from it. It was really good. Like I said 30 seconds ago, like, share, subscribe, throw this up on Facebook, whatever your social media platform is, put it somewhere. There's probably a way you can put a link in there. But before you guys go, I have a couple announcements for you, and they're pretty cool. So coming up in a couple months, we have our partner camp meeting August 6th through the 8th. You guys can go ahead and register for that at whatsright.com/camp meeting. You can scan the QR code on your screen if you're watching on your phone. Some phones have the ability to tap the QR code and you can go to that link that way. But that is one of our two major events that we have every year. Kickstart at the beginning of the year and the partner camp meeting in the back half. We've already had Kickstart this year, but the partners camp meeting is still coming up and it is going to be an awesome anointed time. I'm looking forward to it. After that, coming up much sooner than that, actually coming up tomorrow at 6 a.m., we have our 6 a.m. Frontlines Prayer broadcast that we just started a couple weeks ago. We've had Frontlines Prayer for years, but we've just recently had the Lord lead Barrett, lead Pastor, lead the Frontlines Prayer team to actually put that out on YouTube, and it has been amazing thus far. We've had upwards of 60 people watching. I think the largest amount we've had the largest amount we've had thus far on a morning is like 83. There are tons of people that get on for that, and it is such an anointed time. It's really a blessing. I've been really happy that I've gotten to be a part of that. So if you guys are up at 6 a.m., or if you have leading to be a part of prayer, set an alarm for like 5:30. Get up. Come join us. But after prayer, before the Partners Camp meeting, we have our financial breakthrough meetings with Brother Eddie Smith, May 4th through the 7th. You can scan that QR code on your screen. Go to boomerangchurch.org/breakthrough to register today. Let us know that you guys are coming. All the time that when we ask you guys to register for these things, it's so that we know how many people are coming so that we can best serve you guys. If we have like 400 people show up, we got to figure out where we're going to park all these cars. So it's good to let us know where we're at with numbers and stuff like that so that we can best prepare. But we truly do want to see you guys there. If you're believing for a financial breakthrough in any area, whether that be business, financial, for your business, personal, for your family, whatever area, be a part of those meetings. Come, it's May 4th through the 7th. It's going to be awesome. But with that, that's all the announcements I have for you guys today. Is there anything I forgot? People in the back with the graphics? Okay, there's nothing I forgot. But that is all the announcements I have for you guys today. Come join us again tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon for another episode of Lunch Plus. It's going to be an awesome, awesome word. If you guys weren't here on Sunday morning, what I believe we're going to be talking about, Pastor mentioned it there, we're going to be talking about how to receive in the prayer line. Yeah. Pastor mentioned it on Sunday morning. It is going to be an awesome on-time word. So go ahead, get expectant for it. Be believing that you're going to receive big time out of it like you do every day. But until then, we love you guys. Go have a good day. Bye.
never, 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 never,